Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Fun week here in Buffalo. Sabres rookie camp opens tomorrow. Prospect Challenge games this weekend for Buffalo, Friday, Saturday, and Monday. It's also a day to extend our Team of the Day series, which comes with many ounces of sarcasm, depending on where teams are at. Vancouver.
We did do Vancouver last year. I have it in my note. We did it on September 25th, and that was our last Team of the Day. We never got to the last three.
This is amazing that you just said that, because I wasn't sure whether I should lead in with this question, but based on you saying that we talked about them and that was on the heels of something pretty great and almost surprising, the only question is, what has happened to this team?
What happened to this team?
What are they? What are these Vancouver Canucks? They've missed the playoffs now 9 of the last 12 years. They're going to have their sixth coach now in this period of time as Adam Foote takes over. And it wasn't that long ago we were talking about well over 100 points for a Tocket team and Elias Pettersson and JT Miller.
Brock
Besser as a 40-goal scorer. And
Quinn Hughes.
And Quinn Hughes. I leave Quinn out of the equation simply because he still was Quinn Hughes, but he had won a Norris Trophy. Like, what has happened to this team?
Well, I mean, I remember in the playoffs a year and a little bit ago, Thatcher Demko, in a game where, like, they had won, they had scored an empty net goal, and a Nashville player went around the net. He went post to post on his knees, and he didn't celebrate with his team. And you texted me after the game, Duffer. I still remember you texting me, hey, did you see Demko not celebrating? Is there something going on there? And I went back to look at it, and I'm like, he looks hurt. And then he was hurt and didn't start the year and didn't come in until later in the season. And look, Kevin Lankinen did great for the time that he was there, filling in for Thatcher Demko and Arthur Shilov, who's supposed to be the guy but really didn't play well at the NHL level. But they weren't Thatcher Demko. And then the dominoes just fell and fell and fell. It became the JT Miller, Elias Pettersson saga. It became a team that they were going to move on from Brock Besser, and then they re-signed him in the summer.
Like, Tocchet
moved on to go to Philly. They hired Adam Foote, now who is an assistant. Only has 3 years of NHL assistant coaching experience. He becomes a head coach. Mm-hmm. There is a lot going on in Vancouver Nation, but I think it all started with Thatcher Demko getting hurt in the playoffs before the season even started.
So the Demko injury opened the door for Lankinen, and perhaps almost impossible to believe that he could have parlayed that into his own contract extension after coming in. It basically felt like a tryout, right? And so now they have a significant investment at $4.5 million a year for Lankinen with term, and they've extended Demko as well. And for all the soap opera that was, and I think that's probably if any team was involved in a soap opera last year, it was the Vancouver Canucks. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They still only missed the playoffs by 6 points. Like, it's shocking. And yet, for all the good that Lankinen did through most of the year, he had a tough March when they were technically still in the running. Like, it got a little closer at the end. They went 3-1-1 in their last five in April. So it makes cosmetically the season look like they were a little closer to a playoff spot. But March was not kind to Lankinen, and his save percentage was below .890, and Demko's was below it at that time as well.
Yeah.
So yes, in theory, this tandem should be very good, but it didn't have elite status and consistency all year last year. And then you start diving into the forward ranks, I see questions on every single line for the most part right now with this Vancouver team. And we joke around with the word bullish often on this show. I am not bullish on this team
right now. What's the other side of what's the opposite of being bullish?
Is there a trick word here that I'm...
Yeah, like, isn't there like a term in the stock market, like bull or whatever? So I don't know.
Well, there's bull and bear markets, but this is, yeah.
You're not bearish? That doesn't mean anything. We're bearish on the Vancouver Canucks. But you're right. So, okay. Like, I wrote down in my notes today, I'm like, the Vancouver Canucks were 38, 30, and 14. If they had parlayed six of those 14s overtime or shootout losses into wins, they would have gotten to 96 points and would have been technically like in the playoffs. I don't know how that would have fallen in with the tiebreakers or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was a terrible year in Vancouver. And they were 38, 30, and 14, 90 points. Like if you told an outsider they had internal drama, it was a soap opera, they traded JT Miller, They ended up trading Dakota Joshua in the offseason. They moved on from Pius Suter. They only acquired Evander Kane, but they re-signed Brock Besser. They extended Thatcher Demko after he's been basically injured for the better part of the last year, and he was injured before that. Yeah. It has been a massive soap opera. Quinn Hughes, you mentioned Quinn Hughes. He had 76 points in 68 games. He was 26 points better than the next scorer on the Vancouver Canucks. They had two guys tied at 50, and he played 68 games.
Amazing.
He was like by far the best player. And now the soap opera is going to continue because you have Adam Foote as a first-year coach with Vancouver. You're going to say, okay, is Thatcher Demko healthy? He didn't get invited to Team USA's orientation camp this summer, which... You would have thought Thatcher Demko would have been one of the top four goalies, American goalies, right? He didn't get invited. And Quinn Hughes, in a year from now, will be eligible for an extension. Mm-hmm. All year, people are going to talk about, well, this may be the time for the Canucks to trade Quinn Hughes if they don't think they're going to get him signed next summer. I think it's going to be a soap opera in Vancouver again this year.
Then there is a central character in that. Who does what this year in his attempt to bounce back? Elias Pettersson. It's shocking how far he dropped last year.
It's very shocking. Wasn't shooting the puck, wasn't doing the one-timer on the power play. Looked disinterested. Like he had a blank stare. Like it was like where are you? Where's your soul? Like Mm-hmm. I have always thought of Elias Pettersson as a guy that had a little anger in him, a little kind of dirty in him at times, right? To push back. There's no pushback. And I get there was a lot going on off the ice and everything seemed to like just fall the wrong way. But they did trade JT Miller away and put their eggs in the Elias Pettersson basket. So, so do I think he gets back to 40, 45 goals, I'd be happy with 35. I mean, last year, Jake DeBrusk led the way with 28 goals. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy with Elias Pettersson getting back to 35 goals. That would be like the bare minimum, I think, for Pettersson next year.
And he's not even, I think instinctively and to recognize what the player has accomplished, I think most people would have reasonable expectations for Pettersson to at least be back in the 70-point range. At least. We're not asking for 100 to 110.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But
We don't want 40. They don't want 45, like 45.
Right. And then depending on your website of choice for depth charts, if you think that Hoglander, Pettersson, and Besser should be the top line, I would remind you of how little Hoglander has in the way of NHL numbers at this point. But the bigger story, and we've, again, regular talking point, will they get a second line center? Right now, the player with perhaps the most pressure on this team is centering DeBrusk and Evander Kane, and that is Filip Hedl. And I will say this, one at least really good playoff year aside with the Rangers, I am very, very, very underwhelmed by Filip Hedl's career and his likelihood of elevating this forward group for the Canucks.
I'm concerned. I'm concerned because of his health.
Right.
Like, this is a player that has had head issues, right, when it comes to concussions, and I'm concerned with Filip Hedl. And you look at the last 3 years, he's played 66 games in the last two seasons. 66 games in the last two seasons. That's a concern. Like, could he play 80 this year? Can he play 75? Like, they need him to play that. I have always been a really big fan of Filip Hedl, but I think his healthiest and best spot is as a third line center. So now you go from Elias Pettersson, who got you 45 points last year and has a lot of pressure to be a top line center, to a unhealthy and could be missing a lot of time Filip Hedl, who shouldn't be a second line center. He should be a third line center, but now he has to play elevated. And you're right. Like, if Evander Kane comes in on a in a trade from the Edmonton Oilers, and there's a lot of pressure on Kane, Connor Garland's going to have to produce. Jake DeBrusk's going to have to produce. Brock Besser's going to have to get back to scoring goals. Like, there's a ton of question marks. And the bottom six is not that great either. You know, you mentioned Hoglander maybe playing top six. Like, okay, but if he's better suited for the bottom six, and you have, like, Teddy Bluger and O'Connor, and it's just like you have to get so much out of your top six, and there's too many question marks. They were 23rd in goals for last year. I just don't see where they go, like, this year in producing offense.
When I did a quick glance of their depth chart, to me, their only win was the fact that Kiefer Sherwood was listed on the fourth line. He was arguably their best player last year, most consistent, great pickup, 19 goals. Like, this guy deserves to be playing up in this particular lineup right now. So that's how I look at it.
One of the problems that they have two Duffers, they have three Pettersson, and it's very confusing. They have Elias Pettersson, they have Marcus Pettersson, they have Elias Pettersson. It's like, man, they have too many Petterssons, two on the back end. I don't know if they're like second pair or third pair. I just put Petterssons in the lineup.
I ask you this to close out our team of the day, Vancouver. Name two teams that won fewer home games than Vancouver last year.
San Jose, Chicago.
They are the only two teams that won fewer home games than the Vancouver Canucks. Yep. So that has to be the place where it turns
I didn't do this, the research. It's obvious that San Jose and Chicago were the two worst teams and potentially the worst home team. So when you say Vancouver at home was in the bubble of San Jose and Chicago, that's bad.
It's amazing. It's just so hard to believe. Corey Pronman from The Athletic has Vancouver's pipeline rankings at 22nd. They have some high-end skill. There's no question. Will it infuse itself in this lineup this year? Maybe. We are talking about a Canucks team that has the Calder Cup champions from Abbotsford. So maybe a Lek Aramaki, you know, finds his way in. It's his second year in North America. I just, again, skeptical would be my word for this team right now. And I'm, you know, I don't know. Is there one word to describe what you think Vancouver will be this year?
Sellers.
Again?
I think there'll be sellers. I think you may hear a lot of Quinn Hughes. You may even hear Thatcher Demko. I mean, if there's a team that needs a goalie at some point, and you say, okay, we don't care that he's going to make 8.5 starting next year. This year is where we need a goalie. Mm-hmm. I think there could be a Demko move. There could be a Quinn Hughes move. There could be an Elias Pettersson move. There could be a lot of movement this year. So sellers for Vancouver.
It's been an eventful last few days for BC boy Zach Benson. More on his story coming up on Sabres Live.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.